My name's Paul Newman, and I'm the minister of Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and it's my great pleasure to welcome you to this podcast for Sunday, the 26th of April, 2020. Within this time, there will be prayer, there will be scripture reading, there will be a message from friends in Bogota, Colombia, and there will be a reflection on our gospel reading. So I invite you to worship God as you listen to this podcast. First of all, Janusia Jackery is going to lead us in our opening prayer, and that will be followed by Rachel Thurlow reading our gospel passage from the second half of John chapter 21.
Lord, we want to thank you for today. We thank you for your blessings and your love for us. God, our Father on heaven and earth, we want to declare your glory, majesty, and power. We ask you, Father, that as we've been worshiping in our own homes, your Holy Spirit would work within us and make us new. At this time, Lord, we pray for those who are in need, that you will be the provision. We pray for those that are in conflict, that they will have peace. We pray for those who are grieving, may they be comforted. May your light shine upon our homes, our community, our nation, and the world, because you are faithful and there is no other we can go to. We pray, Father, that our hearts will be fully given to you. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. We praise you and give you thanks. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Jesus reinstates Peter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumour spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true.
For some years, we at Whitley Bay Baptist Church have had close contacts with New Hope for Children, a charity working in the city of Bogota, Colombia, in South America, with some of the neediest people in the region. The charity provides a safe home, a loving and caring family, and education for 95 children from babies to young adults. In addition, a further 85 children from the poorest areas around Bogota receive education at the school. And the charity runs a large humanitarian outreach and medical mission program. This Sunday should have been the occasion for a visit to Whitley Bay Baptist Church by our good friend Richard Sanderson, who is one of the directors of the charity which was founded by his wife Janine in 1993. But sadly, due to the coronavirus pandemic, he has been unable to leave Colombia. But we are grateful that he and Janine have been able to record this brief greeting for us. After we've listened to it, we will be led in intercession by Anne and Tony Sims, and those prayers will be followed by a song sung by Alan McMillan.
Yeah. Well, hi to you, Pastor Paul and everybody at Whitley Bay Baptist Church. This is Janine and Richard from Children's Vision in Colombia. I wish I was there speaking on behalf of New Hope for Children in these days. We've been very much praying for you, praying God's protection over you during these times. We too here in Colombia are in lockdown. All of our children have had to go back to their very poor homes. We haven't been allowed to keep them here because school is closed down and the whole city is in lockdown. So we're just praying God's protection over you and send all of our love and blessings and wish we could be there with you.
We wanna say thank you for all of your prayers. We know that it's very difficult over there. And as you've seen, it's difficult across the world. Our children are in their homes. And what we've done is we've organized food packs. We've went out and bought supplies to be able to make 1,000 bags of groceries. We've already given out 600 packs and we're providing them to each and every one of our students. We're providing them to our community. We're providing them to every single family that's contacted us and requested help. You're gonna see, this is our new storage room in the new building. And had we not had this building, we would not be able to do what we're doing with the thousands and thousands of families. We're also supplying humanitarian aid through the Navy, and it's going out on airplanes. We're packing it here. It's going out in boxes. It's going out over and over and over again to bring hope to a nation. And every single care pack goes with evangelism tracts and Bibles. And the Lord is using our little hole in the wall of nowhere, which you guys helped us build and have provided for, to meet the needs of thousands of people in this country. So thank you for believing in Children's Vision. Our doors may be closed, but the mission is not stopped. We love you guys. Thank you for your prayers, and we're certainly praying for all of you and your families.
God bless. We love you. Thank you.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we come joyfully into your presence on the sixth Sunday in lockdown because we know that your love for us is all-encompassing. You are the God of second chances, the one whose mercy is inexhaustible. We come in confidence, trusting in your great compassion and your infinite resources. The psalmist declares in 31:7, "In mercy you have seen my troubles, and you have cared for me. Even during this crisis, in my soul I will be radiant with joy, filled with praise for your love and your mercy." We lift our hearts in praise and worship as we bring our needs before you now. Our Father, we once again commit to your care and keeping all those in our church who are working on the front line during this COVID crisis and all those who are self-isolating and feeling ill.
We bring before you John and Christine Kirk. We pray, Lord, that John would be able to obtain the medical supplies he needs and receive the treatment. In painful and difficult circumstances, may they both be aware of your presence and know your peace. We pray too for Eileen Hudson and her family. Please be with Dorothy Johnson in her need and comfort and strengthen Pauline and Stu in their self-isolation.
We especially pray today for those we know and love who are in our care homes. when they feel troubled and frightened by events going on around them, will you comfort and uphold them? Will you fill them with your peace as they become aware of your presence with them? We pray for all those who are grieving, especially Andrea and Andrew Foster, Andrea's father Colin and her sister Ruth, as they mourn the loss of a wife and mother. We pray especially for your help for them on Wednesday, the day of the funeral. Please enfold them in love and care in the days to come. And now, Father, we pray too for those listening in who may be struggling with mood swings, depression, lethargy, addiction, or any other problems. Lord Jesus, will you guard their hearts and their minds, and by your Holy Spirit remind them to turn to your word and to your people for answers and for the hope needed to trust you in these hard days. Enable them to understand that they are never alone, that they are loved with an everlasting love, that there is always someone who will be used by you to help them.
Thank you for the news from Richard and Janine and their work with New Hope for Children in Bogota. We commit to you all the children who have had to leave the home and pray for their physical, mental, spiritual care and protection. Please look after and protect Richard and Janine. Grant them wisdom and uphold them as they seek to serve you in different ways. We pray that as the food parcels are distributed to many people, that the tracts would be well received, and through that many would come to salvation. We pray for our world and its many needs at this time. There are many people suffering from war, famine, disease, and the impact of climate change, and who will suffer even more as the pandemic spreads and the economic consequences are felt around the world. We bring them before you, knowing that you are a compassionate God. In particular, we pray for your children, our brothers and sisters, in countries where they face outright persecution and hatred, and where that will only get worse as a consequence of the virus. We bring before you our government and all those in positions of authority and responsibility. Please give them the wisdom and insight which they so desperately need to cope with all the challenges they currently face. We pray for them as they grapple with issues that they would realize their weakness and turn to you for help. Thank you for the psalmist reminder. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Almighty God, we pray that we would learn to love you with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind, so that among all the changes in this fleeting world, our hearts would be fixed where true joys are to be found. Let us now close our intercessions as we join together in our Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Your thoughts are too marvelous for me. You hear every word I say before I get the chance to speak. There's nowhere I can hide away. You see my every shadow. You are my brightest day. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Every breath I take, it is a gift of your amazing grace. Though my life is like the spray on a storm-tossed wave. To you my life is treasure, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Stars in the heavens sing your praise. There's no song that I can bring to match the anthem that they raise. You stoop down to listen at my door. Despite my feeble efforts, you long to know me more. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Every breath I take, it is a gift of your amazing grace. Though my life is like the spray on a storm-tossed wave, to you my life is treasure, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Every breath I take, it is a gift of your amazing grace. Though my life is like the spray on a storm-tossed wave, to you my life is treasure, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. To you my life is treasure, and I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
There was a day, not very long ago, just 3 years back, when Jesus of Nazareth was first getting a bit of a reputation round Galilee for his eye-opening insight into the life of God. There was a day, that day, that Peter, mending the nets he used for fishing, was aware from the shadow that someone was standing over him. He hated that. This was close work, and nothing put him off more than someone else standing over him watching. As he turned his head, knowing exactly the sarcastic comment he was about to make, he saw that the shadow was that of the man from Nazareth, Jesus. Peter, with his brother Andrew and old Zebedee's sons, James and John, had been to hear what this Jesus had had to say for himself just a few days previously. Quite a revelation it was. They came away sensing that God really cared for ordinary, uneducated people like themselves, and that somehow the world was bigger and better than when they had first gone to hear him. Now, he was here, standing, watching. "Can I help you?" asked Peter in his abrupt way. "You know, I think you can. They say you're one of the best fishermen around here."
"Do they? Well, they're probably not far wrong."
"So," said Jesus, his eyes smiling, "how about going for something a bit bigger than these waters have to offer? How do you fancy joining my crew and fishing for people, hauling them into the kingdom of God?" Just about to come out with the usual how, what, why, Peter was interrupted. "Follow me, and I'll explain as we go. Andrew, James, John, why don't you come too? Follow me." And that's what they'd been doing for the last 3 years. He'd become their teacher, and with 8 others, they'd gone everywhere with him. They heard all he said, and had watched all he'd done, and been through experiences it would take many books to describe. But it all started with "follow me." Peter had followed. Almost to the end, but not quite. Over those 3 years, Peter had offered more than once to lay down his life for Jesus. even most recently, back in Jerusalem, when Jesus was fed through the grinder of a corrupted religious and judicial hierarchy, emerging as the broken body tortured to death on the crucifixion gallows on the Hill of the Skull. "Follow me," had been the invitation, though try as he might to recall the sound of the Lord's voice and the way he spoke those two simple words, all that came to Peter's inner memory was the sound of a cock crowing. The Lord had risen from the tomb in which he had been laid, and there was such rejoicing in their midst. But not for Peter. For whenever he saw and heard Jesus, it was that wretched cockerel that returned to him, crowing to announce his failure as a disciple, his moral cowardice, his total unsuitability to serve the one he had so often called master before. And here he was, back at Galilee, and the others had just had a fish breakfast with Jesus, but somehow Peter just didn't have the appetite and sat a little way away from the others, unsure of what to do with himself. The cockerel was still crowing. Had he done any better than Judas, the betrayer? Oh, he hadn't accepted silver to sell Jesus into the hands of the authorities and give evidence against him. Yet in order to gain a little warmth by a charcoal fire on a cold night outside the high priest's house, Peter had not exactly covered himself with glory. He had gone as far as the house, following the little crowd that had gathered as the soldiers roughly manhandled Jesus inside. He was surprised out of his stupor by the servant girl who attended the door. "Aren't you one of this man's disciples?" "No, I am not." Alone and cold, Peter had edged towards the glowing warmth of the fire. Someone turned and said, "I recognise you. You were one of the men with him." "Oh, not me." Peter had cut off the ear of one of the high priest's servants in the Garden of Gethsemane in a vain attempt to defend Jesus. Another, who was a relation of that man, and was there now, recognised him. "You definitely were with that Jesus." "I have never been anywhere near him," yelled Peter. And an eerie silence descended on the scene. And though no one was following, Peter ran for his life, desperately wanting to put it all right, but it was too late now. Peter ran and was not seen again until that Sabbath day after the crucifixion, and he was no longer the confident leader of the group that he once was. He's a shadow of the man to whom Jesus had said, "Follow me," 3 years ago. The one prayer that came repeatedly to mind to Peter was the one that comes to us all in great times of trouble, especially when we know we've hurt another and cannot work out how to fix it. The prayer, "God help me." The risen Jesus knew the prayer in the heart of Peter, knew how this once mouthy disciple was haunted by the morning call of a farmyard bird. Peter hadn't heard the footsteps behind him as Jesus had walked to him. "Peter, I think we need to talk." They began to walk along the side of the lake on the shore. "I've been thinking about that last conversation we had in the upper room when I tried to explain to you what was going to happen to me very soon. You were eager to tell me that you would follow me anywhere, even lay down your life for me. After all, none of the others loved me as much as you, or so you said. Do you remember how I upset you when I told you that before the cock crowed the next morning, you would have denied knowing me 3 times? "I remember," Peter muttered, almost too quiet to be heard. "Yes, I remember." They were walking side by side, and Jesus, without looking at the disciple, for he knew it would be too much at that moment, asked Simon — Simon's the name,
this disciple had been given at birth, but Jesus had given him the nickname Peter, or Rocky. But for now, it's back to Simon. Simon, do you love me more than my other disciples? Love, agapeo, such a strong word taken over by Christ and his followers to speak of the limitless, gracious affection of God. Peter ignores the reference to the others. After all that has happened, how can he claim to be a prize winner in any devotion to the master competition? Well, answers Peter, you know I care for you. In that moment, in honesty, he feels unable to claim any more. I care for you. He knows that if he uses the word love, Jesus has every right to turn to him and say, really? And that would be too much. But what Jesus says must have amazed Peter. Peter, I've got a job for you. Feed my lambs. What's Peter hearing? Jesus knows everything about him, yet Peter, standing there in utter weakness, is the one to whom Jesus gives the great commission from God. Peter has denied knowing Jesus, has run away from Jesus, and even become the devil's mouthpiece when he tried to divert Jesus from doing what he had to do to fulfil his mission. John Marsh has written, Christ does not wait upon a person's attainment of perfection before admitting them to discipleship or appointing them to apostleship. Both offices alike are his gifts to sinful people. Continuing on their beach walk, Jesus asked Peter a second question. Simon, do you love me? It's as if Jesus said, OK, I understand that you no longer want to claim any precedence in love and loyalty, so forget about the others. Think simply of your own relationship to me. Do you love me? Peter gives the same answer. Yes, Lord, you know that I care for you. He still cannot get his tongue around the word love. Good, said Jesus. So tend my sheep. They walk a little further, and Jesus asks a third question, but now he uses Peter's choice of words, and it sounds much sharper. Simon, son of John, do you even care for me? No longer does Jesus use what was to become the typical Christian word for love. The question is now, do you even care for me? Can you say that much? And Peter is grieved, although until now, he has only felt able to claim that he cared for Jesus. Now he knows the truth about what lies within himself. It explodes out of him as he declares, Master, you know everything there is to know, and you've got to know that I love you. Jesus said, I know. So feed my sheep. And he goes on to tell Peter that he will serve his Lord until the day his life is taken from him because of his courageous witness to the good news of the kingdom. On the shore of Galilee, I imagine Peter kneeling on the sand, the shadow of Jesus falling over him as the Master says, follow me. Back where they started, but so much farther on. During this period of lockdown, some of us will be taking time to review our lives and perhaps wonder about some of the decisions we have made that have determined our course. That will cause some of us to consider not just our successes, but our failures. And perhaps some of those failures lie in relation to our following Jesus. The story I've shared this morning from John 21 is not simply a story about Peter. It's a story about you and me and every other disciple. Whatever dead ends you feel you have arrived at, however dashed have been your dreams, however grave have been the sins, Jesus wants us to know that he still loves us and welcomes our love for him and includes each of us in the calling he gave to Peter on behalf of all the body of Christ. Follow me and feed my sheep. Follow me.
Let's reflect on all that means for us as we listen to Catherine and John Rain playing an instrumental version of I Will Offer Up My Life. Risen Lord, remind us of the way you changed the lives of the apostles and of countless others since, transforming doubt to faith, sorrow to joy, and fear to confidence.
Where we have sinned, forgive us. Where we have been mistaken, show us the right way. When we have chosen to worship other gods, call us back to yourself, the one true God. Meet us then, we pray, through the risen Christ, so that, incredible though it may seem, we may know him for ourselves and share his life now and forevermore. And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.